Welcome to Native America Calling. From Studio 49 in Albuquerque, I'm Tara Gatewood. Last month, students from a school on the Oglala Lakota Nation left a hockey game early because they were the target of racial slurs and actions. The incident has sparked local and national outrage. Currently, the situation is under police investigation and charges have yet to be made. We know racist acts can have lasting effects, but what about when our children are the target? How should we protect our kids against racism? That's our discussion today. Stay with us. We're back right after the news.
This is National Native News. I'm Antonia Gonzalez. Members of the Menominee Nation hope to complete a 150-mile march by Wednesday. It's aimed at getting Wisconsin's governor to change his mind and approve an off-reservation casino between Milwaukee and Chicago. Chuck Kornbach of Wisconsin Public Radio caught up with the marchers as they battled cold temperatures but kept their resolve.
Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker has already said no to the Menominee's plan to team with the Florida Seminole tribe and open a casino and Hard Rock Entertainment Complex in Kenosha. Walker has repeatedly said he's worried about lower revenue payments from other tribal gaming halls in southern Wisconsin. But technically, Walker has until Thursday to change his mind about the Menominee project. As about 30 Menominee tribal members marched along a state highway between their reservation and the state capital of Madison this week, marchers hoped their effort would lead to a meeting with Walker. Menominee art teacher Janice Rabideau says she'd like the governor to know that the tribe might use some of the casino profits to help youth.
There's a chance that we could build a new school for these children. They're going to school in a very rundown building.
Others say the casino profits would also help tribal elders and military veterans. Over the weekend, marchers walked through sub-zero wind chills. Basil Richmond says he kept going because it's the same route his grandparents took in 1971 when the Menominee marched to encourage Wisconsin's then-governor to back the tribe's effort to get official status restored. Richmond says he's partly honoring his elders.
So, you know, what starts out to be one thing during this walk or journey, as in the journeys of life, there will be many other things that are more important than Scott Walker.
The Menominee's march will end with a rally at the Wisconsin State Capitol. For National Native News, I'm Chuck Kornbach.
Lower Brule Sioux leaders met in tribal court last week in South Dakota in what has become a continuing battle for political control of the tribe. As Jim Kent reports, this phase involved two council representatives and the vice chairman. All three were newly elected to their positions last fall.
Allegations of corruption and mismanagement of funds during his 30 years in office led Lower Brule Sioux Tribal Chairman Mike Jandrew to walk out of a November Tribal Council meeting along with two council members who support him. Vice Chairman Kevin Wright and the new council reps voted to replace Jandrew and his two supporters. Jandrew countered with subpoenas for his three opponents, calling for a restraining order against any public criticism of the tribal government. That brings us to today's court hearing. But the tribal judge has a flat tire and arrives late. Then the tribal members and press are told to leave the courtroom without explanation. After 4 hours, tribal members and press are permitted back into the courtroom, having been advised that both sides had been negotiating. The brief hearing by B.J. Jones, a retired judge from the Cheyenne River Sioux Reservation, results in Jones dismissing the subpoenas as well as the defendant's removal of Jandrew and the two council reps. He noted that both issues were tribal constitution concerns and beyond the purview of the court. Judge Jones then ordered a tribal council meeting to be held in March, during which both sides have been instructed to resolve their differences. Failure to do so could end in contempt of court charges. For National Native News, I'm Jim Kent.
And I'm Antonia Gonzalez.
National Native News is produced at the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, with offices in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. and by the law firm of Sanosky, Chambers, Saxe, Miller & Munson, advocating Native American interests throughout the United States, with offices in New Mexico, California, Alaska, and Washington, D.C.
When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support National Native News. Just use Pick, Click, Give, and select KNBA-FM Kewaunik Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Supported by the Tribal Telecom and Technology Conference, Weaving Pathways Across the Digital Divide. The annual Tribal Telecom Golf Classic will be held May 4th, 2015 at the Isleta Eagle Golf Course. Info at tribaltelecomconference.com.
Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.
This is Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood. Today we're talking about racism against children. Last month, an incident at a hockey game in Rapid City, South Dakota, sparked outrage in Native America. Native children were the target of racial actions and slurs. And we're going to speak to some of the folks who were involved in this incident in just a minute to hear what kind of impact it's had on them and their communities. Since the news broke, there has been a public outcry, and there have also been protests. Some consider what happened in Rapid City a hate crime, while others feel the charges should be filed as child abuse. As we hear more on this, we also want you to share your thoughts, too. What did you think when you first heard about this incident? And were you immediately concerned for the children involved? Join our conversation today by calling 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. And we also want to hear your thoughts on talking to our kids about racism. Have the children in your life ever experienced a racist incident? What did you tell them? And how did you explain why it happened and why they were the focus? And what about ways to respond if this ever happened again? We want to hear parents, grandparents, those of you who connect to young ones. What do you tell them? Again, our phone lines are open. 1-800-996-2848 is the number to join us. And now let's welcome our first guest. Joining us now from Allen, South Dakota, is Justin Poorbear, and he is a school board member for the American Horse School, and he was also a chaperone at the hockey game in Rapid City last month. Justin is Oglala Lakota. Welcome to Native America Calling, Justin.
Good morning.
And Justin, thank you for being with us here today. I know a lot of people in Native America and beyond focused in on this area because, you know, especially when we heard about racist incidents and especially involving young people, our children. Justin, go ahead and take us to, you know, last month. We want to hear more about what you witnessed at the hockey game.
Thank you, Tara, for inviting us on your show. Well, last month on the 24th, we did go up to the hockey game in Rapid City. It was a good experience, first, second, third quarter, for what the kids were seeing. Until the third quarter came around, and I had a chaperone that came to me, and the teacher, and she said, "Justin, we gotta go," and she had tears in her eyes, and she said, "We need to leave right now. Those gentlemen in the VIP suite were throwing beer down on our kids and using racial remarks." So I immediately got up and we got the kids. I went over there. Me and the gentleman had we exchanged some words. They threatened to bring me in their suite. Our kids were covered up looking in fear. We then immediately went downstairs to look for security right away. There was no security available at the time. Me and some staff were walking around looking for security, and I approached a lady and I asked them if we can find a head of security. She did. She contacted three guys that had security on their badges. Me and another staff member went into a separate room, and she was in tears, and they told her to fill out a statement. and I was standing there, and they were saying they were going to bring the VIP back to our students again. And they pointed it out. It was Section Q. They pointed them out to us. We came down, and right away I felt like the safety was our students. And we needed to get them out of there, and we didn't need to go through what the kids already been through already. But the kids were shocked, and they were in tears.
And Justin, you know, the children that they were there, this just wasn't, you know, going to see a game. They were actually there for something special because they were being highlighted for their good work. Anything you want to share about that as to why the kids were even there?
They did go on a, like you said, 21st century field trip after school program. And they have to earn enough. They have to be here after school to get caught up and after school activities, basically. They have to have missed no days. And it was best, like a good reward trip for them.
And Justin, you know, hearing that and understanding more about the situation, the kids were being, you know, rewarded for their good work. And any thoughts on how something that, you know, was with good intentions turned out like this, you know, how does that make you feel?
It's heartbreaking because the work they do here, the kids do here in the school system, come every day, work hard, stay up to school, even later hours. And to go up there and to have a wonderful trip just be shattered in front of them in seconds. That's what the very upsetting.
It most definitely is, Justin. And I'd like to know, you know, how are the kids now? What has been, you know, what has transpired? How are they feeling?
We had a lot of healing process along the way inside the school here. We're trying to make them feel comfortable as much as we could. They are moving on, like playing basketball. They had a powwow this weekend here. We're not sweeping it under the rug, so to speak, but the kids are still coping with it.
Sure, I can only imagine how big this is, you know, for them, and especially the media attention that this has brought to the community. A lot of people are talking about this, and if this is something you have had your eye on, we want to hear from you. What did you think when you heard about this? Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Justin, I'm going to bring in another voice into the hour. Joining us today is Dr. Gloria Kitsopoulos, and she is a superintendent of the American Horse School, and she is Oglala Lakota. Welcome to Native America Calling, Gloria.
Thank you, Tara.
And Gloria, any other details you'd like to fill in? I know a lot of people heard about it in Native America, but some people might just be learning about it for the first time today. Any more details you'd like to fill in as to what happened last month?
Well, after the incident and the children were brought back to school, I had a meeting with all of the students and to tell them how proud I was of them. And for one, being able, you know, the reward for going on the trip, and for conducting themselves, as they always do, very well respected. Our children go from our school go on several trips up to the Rapid City area. The Black Hills is a sacred site for our people. And there's a lot of reward trips. We go to the Journey Museum. We go up to different theater productions. And this is our fifth time to a hockey game. And so the thing is, I always get calls back about how well behaved your children are. They're so respectful. So when I called them together, I told them, you know, once again, you know, you make me so proud because you represent our people and our community. And one of my students said to me, "But you told us we could go anywhere and be anything," and I saw the doubt, you know, in their eyes, like, that's not true anymore. And one of the students said, "Well, I guess we don't get to go back to Rapid City again." And I'm like, "No, you know, you can go to Rapid City. It's like anybody else. It's as much our city as it's anybody else's." And our students are academically very sound and solid, and we have a great community, great parents that support the school. And my children are very articulate. We do plays. We have presentations. So they're really coming out to be their own. And that night, it just took a little bit of that spirit away, a little bit of the spark. And I know they'll get it back because they're resilient and they'll bounce back. But anytime something like that happens, especially to a student, you know, you're a little bit more hesitant to venture out again, to make that step, to get out of the box, because now this has been done. And Justin's small child was 4, but our youngest actually student was a 9-year-old that was there. So they're just babies. For this to happen to them is just atrocious.
All right. Thank you for being with us. And again, phone lines are open if you'd like to share your thoughts. And do apologize, we have Gloria Coates-Kitsopoulos with us today here on the line from the American Horse School. Also with us is Justin Poorbear, who is a school board member for the American Horse School. If you'd like to chat with us, share your thoughts, you can. You can give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. Folks, let's go ahead and open up these lines. We're going to bring in our first call. We have Little Bear Fox on the line here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. And what would you like to share?
Tara, really quick, thank you for allowing us to be on the air. And we are United Urban Warriors Society. Our founder is James Swan. He is Black Hills, Dakota. And our group was there supporting and protesting there at the meeting, and we just wanted to get it out there. We are in full activism concerning what is going on. We want justice. And just to put it out there right now, we are having a trip on March 17th in Phillip, South Dakota, concerning the matter. And it's United Urban Warriors Society. We are on Facebook, and we are posting hard on this. We thank you and our prayers, and we're looking for justice. Personally, my opinion is people need to be cited for this. They need to go to jail. Thank you so much. And we are posting very hard on Facebook. Look for us, United Urban Warriors Society. Thank you so much, Tara. This is awesome.
All right. Thank you for your call. Again, phone lines are open. What would you like to add? 1-800-996-2848. And we're discussing an incident that happened last month at a Rapid City Rush hockey game. And did you hear about it? About students from the American Horse School who had to leave the game early because some fans allegedly shouted racial slurs and threw beer on them. And if you're just hearing that for the first time, what do you think about that? Young children going to a game and having to face this. Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. And the investigation on this is ongoing. But today, we also want to hear your reactions to young people facing racist actions. You know, what do you think? Give us a call. What do you tell young people when they come face to face with racism? 1-800-996-2848 is the number to join our conversation. Let's go ahead and add another voice. We have Suzanne White-Lance on the line, and Suzanne is the business manager for the American Horse School, and her niece also attended the hockey game. She is Oglala Lakota, and we are welcoming her into the hour. Hello, Suzanne.
Hello.
And Suzanne, thank you for, you know, joining us. I want to hear more about what, you know, young people had to say about this. Your niece was there, whom you're raising. What did she tell you about what she experienced?
The first thing she said when she came back, because she called my husband Papa, and she said, "Papa, I drank beer tonight." And he said, "What?" And she said, "Yeah, when she said we were yelling for the team and we looked up and they spilled beer in our mouth." And we were just, I mean, we still, it's still really hard to believe, you know, that that even happened to them. But I've been really primarily involved with the rest of the parents in meetings and communication with each other since this has happened, because we still can hardly believe that it's been 3 weeks and nobody's been arrested for this when it was at a very public outing, and there were other people, including non-natives, who said they saw, you know, some of the incident. And so it's been really frustrating for a lot of us. But, yeah, and it just made them feel bad, you know, so.
And, Suzanne, how is your niece doing now?
She's still really struggling, and it's really hard because one of the things that impacts all of them, too, is we've had 4 young suicides on the reservation in the last 2 weeks. And so I think for our older children, because my niece is in the 8th grade, and so they're at an age where they really have a lot of emotional things to deal with anyway, you know, just being a teenager. And so then struggling with how badly they felt, and then having these other incidents happen on the reservation, it just makes it much harder for them to feel positive, you know. We've been
And Suzanne, I've been reading about that, and, you know, our thoughts are going out to the community and the families as well on that. And Suzanne, you know, as we take a look at this and, you know, start thinking about, you know, what do we tell our children about racism? What are some of the statements or some of the things that you are, you know, giving to our young people so that they can help make sense of all of this?
One of the things one of the parents said is that when she said to the police about why isn't something happening, she said, because, and she said with a lot of emotion, you know, she said, that doesn't help me when I have to tell my daughter they did that to her just because of who she is and the color of her skin, you know, that she said, why do they hate us so much, or why do they want to hurt us like that? And she said, I don't have any answers for her, but by you not arresting someone, then it makes it hard for us to tell them that people care about them and want to do something about it, you know? Because our big concern is if nobody's arrested for this incident, is it just open season on our kids in town, you know? And that we have to be hypervigilant if we take them anywhere. And most of us shop in Rapid City for everything on a regular basis, you know, so we all become just more concerned, you know. Are we said, do we send all of our men with them when they go anywhere up there, you know? I mean, what's our responsibility now for our children when we go up there if nothing's done about this incident?
Yep, there is a lot to consider. And Suzanne, we appreciate you sharing with us. We're going to continue with the conversation. But again, if you'd like to join us, 1-800-996-2848 is the number. Let's bring in some more callers. We have Thomas in Pine Ridge listening to us on KILI Keeley Radio. Thomas, welcome to the hour.
Thank you very much. I like listening to this radio show. My concern is of what happened to our Native kids in Rapid City. It should not have happened because, you know, our kids are our youth and they're our future for this tribe. And I really commend the American Horse School for what they're doing and what they plan on doing. And I commend Mr. Porter for what he has done to, you know, try to stop what has happened that day. And I just wanted to ask the superintendent of American North School, is there anything that has been done yet of what happened in Rapid?
All right, Thomas, thank you for your call. Always a pleasure to hear from folks across Native America. And Dr. Coates Kitsopoulos, tell us a little bit more. Where do things stand? And go ahead.
We've been, and thank you, Tom, we've been very vigilant in helping our students and our parents. We've brought in a counselor, Dr. Clayton Small, who was with us all last week, and working with our local elders and our Lakota leaders, and doing spiritual sessions and counseling with them, and also training a couple of our local clinical psychologists so that they can continue to work with our students once his group leaves. Dr. Small is here this week working with the parents and the children together. We've had 3 meetings with the Rapid City Police Department
And there will be a meeting coming up here real soon. And they are going to come down and talk to the parents. And we're hoping then that will be the announcement of actually what's going on, the finalization of the investigation. They've gotten all the statements and they've interviewed the people. So, and now we're waiting for them to compile all this for their investigation. And what we want is justice for our students, justice for our children. And that's what we're hoping we'll hear when we meet with these people later on this week.
All right. Thanks for that. Let's go to the phone lines. We have more people who want to share their thoughts on this. And again, you are also invited. We're talking about an incident that happened in Rapid City, South Dakota. But what about, you know, just racism in general when our kids have to face it? Give us a call. Tell us what you think. What do you tell your young ones about standing up against racism? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. That's also 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and hear from Shanto in Spokane, Washington, tuned in on KSFC. Go ahead, Shanto, you're on air.
Hi, Ted. Thanks for taking my phone call. Yeah, I'm here in Spokane, Washington, and I heard about the incident there in Rapid City. And my first emotion was anger, and then I thought, you know, I'm not really surprised because being Native American myself, you know, I've experienced racism, you know, throughout my whole life. I'm only 35 years old, so I experienced throughout my whole life growing up, and then just the other week I experienced it. So, you know, it's not going anywhere yet. But I used to teach a culture after school culture program right here in the inner cities in Spokane, Washington, and I used to teach the little kids about who they are and where they came from and where Indians or Native Americans are here at this point today. And most of the kids knew about how the Indians were treated in the past, and they had a pretty good understanding. And one thing I taught them about was how to react to the racism. Like a long time ago when we were, you know, all the wrongdoings that were happening to Indians a long time ago, historically, I told them, I said, you know, the old people, they never lashed out and tried to, like, kill all the white people in that way because they knew better. They took this high road. And I told them, you know, when you learn about these things in school, I told them, you know, don't get mad. You take this high road like the old people used to do, because if we never took that high road, we wouldn't be here today, and that's just how what Indian people do. They have way more respect than to do something like that.
All right, Shanto, thank you for sharing with us there in Spokane, Washington. We're going to go to break here, but again, phone lines will stay open. If you'd like to join the conversation, please do. All you have to do is call 1-800-996-2848. And if you have any thoughts on good words to tell young people who are facing this, call us right now, 1-800-99-NATIVE. We will be right back after this short break. Eagles are sacred to many Native tribes, and their feathers are an important part of Native culture. Current laws and regulations on eagle feathers and parts are making it harder for Natives to connect to some of their cultural ways. Are you one of the many Natives being impacted by this? Tell us about it on the next Native America Calling.
Hey, come and die away, 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 h Are you an experienced journalist passionate about bringing Native issues and perspectives to a wide audience? Have you demonstrated ability to lead radio producers and reporters in best practices to produce programs of the highest broadcast standards? You could be the next executive producer, manager of national programs at Kawanak Broadcast Corporation's Albuquerque-based Annenberg National Native Voice Studios. Find the full job description and how to apply at NativeAmericaCalling.com.
Welcome back to Native America Calling. I'm Tara Gatewood from Isleta Pueblo, and thanks for joining our conversation today. We've been talking about an incident that happened last month at a Rapid City Rush hockey game involving hockey fans and Native school children. Justin Poorbear, Suzanne White-Lance, and Dr. Gloria Coates-Kitsopoulos are with us from the American Horse School. And the investigation into the incident is ongoing. But today we want to hear from you. And what would you like to share about children facing racism? And what do your kids do when they encounter racism or hatred? And are you the one who taught them? Our phone lines are open. Give us a call, 1-800-996-2848. And I want to go to Justin here. Justin, we had a caller earlier before the break, Thomas, also commending some of the work that you've been doing to really stand up on this issue. And Justin, I wanted to hear from you. You know, why is it important that, you know, we come together as a community and have that voice that this type of racism won't be tolerated? Justin?
Yes, I want to thank you, Thomas, for, you know, the words. And not only his, but there's an amount of people all over this Turtle Island giving us thanks, and American Horse does feel the support. But the number one support comes from the families here in American Horse as well. They've been very supportive of us. And like Suzanne and Argoria said, that we try to keep the parents updated weekly on any issue. So I want to thank Thomas for that. And what was the other question there? Sorry, my mind went blank there.
No worry. And Justin, this can be very overwhelming, especially when young ones are involved. You know, we love our children. We want to protect them, but things like this happen. Justin, anything else on your mind that you'd really like to let people know how racism like this can impact young people? Justin?
You know, it impacted our whole community as a whole. Like Gloria or Suzanne said, that when we went to Rapid, you know, the kids right now feel fearful of going to Rapid. And it's something that, it's 2015, something that we should never have thought about, racism. But it showed his head that night at the Civic Center game when those individuals did this. But it's really, as a parent, it's really difficult to tell your kids, but lately I've been honest with my own sons. Like, racism comes in any size, shapes, and forms, colors, you know. And there's good people, there's a lot of good people out there, but there is a group of bad people as well out there. So I've been telling my sons at home, be careful. And they understand, all three of my boys that went with me to the hockey game, my baby, he's 4 years old, my 8-year-old, and my 10-year-old. So they were all with me, and so they all got to experience what happened. And now they're just as shocked, like, what happened, Dad? But my baby still doesn't know what's happening, thank God.
All right, thanks for sharing that. And again, we're going to continue with this. If you'd like to join us, share your thoughts, call us right now, 1-800-99-NATIVE. I got another caller we are bringing in. Let's go ahead and go to Roger here in Albuquerque, New Mexico, tuned in on KUNM. And Roger, you have a question for us?
Yes, I have a question. I would like to write a letter of support to the Rapid City, to the group there. I'm not a Native American, but I listen often to your wonderful, wonderful program. And I am just appalled, and I am ashamed of what people did to your people up there. May I write a letter of support?
All right. I want to go ahead and bring in Dr. Coates-Kitsopoulos on this one. Go ahead, doctor.
Yes, we're receiving support from far away as the United Kingdom and Australia, and we really appreciate all the support our children are getting. We've established a caring tree that we've got in our gym, and we post the cards and all the sincere thoughts and prayers that are sent our way. We also have a website. Our school website is AmericanHorseSchool.com. And people have posted emails there. And any support, and it's important for the children. When we just talked about racism, and I spent 26 years in the military, and I grew up during the 70s, and I was here and going to school during the AIM time. And I actually had thought that we had passed this. But like the gentleman from Washington said, it's still there. And we just got to hold our heads up and be better and show the people that are racist that we will not go to that level. And that is the message we tried to give our children. And that was one thing when I talked to them and they walked out that night, they put their heads down and walked out. And I told them, you never put your heads down. You keep your head up high. You didn't do anything wrong. Those people did something wrong. And the gentleman from Washington said it much better than I did. You know, we must always take the high road and show that, you know, the only way we'll stop racism is if we do not wallow down in it but raise ourselves above it. And so any support you would like to send to the school or on our webpage, or even send to the Rapid City Journal, and I don't know their address, it's just Rapid City Journal, Rapid City, South Dakota, is greatly appreciated by me, but more importantly by my students and the parents.
All right, thank you for your call. And Gloria, I also wanted to ask you, and by the way, we also posted a photo of the tree, the caring tree that was made with the cards on our Twitter account. If you want to check it out, at 1-800-99-NATIVE, that's our Twitter handle. Gloria, I also wanted to ask you, there was a headline also in the Rapid City Journal questioning if the kids stood for the national anthem. Talk to us a little bit about this headline and kind of, you know, how it fits into all of this.
That was probably my most inflammatory moment of my life. I actually wrote an editorial and it was published in the paper. And the gentleman had called me that wrote the piece for the Rapid City paper the night before. And I had said, I had checked with everybody. My students had stood for the national anthem. They always stand for the national anthem. What purpose did that have to do with throwing beer on them? I got up Saturday, opened the journal, and across the front page was, you know, the children didn't stand for the national anthem. And pretty much what I said, the name of our school is American Horse School. Our logo is a horse with American flag on it. And as I said, I'm retired military, and many, many of our Native people serve in the military. And my children know what the American flag is. They know what to do when it's posed, when it's unfurled, when it's folded. They wear it every day on their sports uniforms, on their hoodies, on their T-shirts, because we put our logos on these things. So my children know what the American flag is. And they did stand, and the article the gentleman wrote in the paper even said, the people standing around said, the children stood for the national anthem. And my question is, we have a Lakota flag song, and I've been to basketball games when our teams play, and I don't see everybody standing for the Lakota flag song when it's played, but our children stand for both the American national anthem and our Lakota song. And I've been around a long time when people used to burn the flag and people would, other minorities would make gestures or stuff to the flag, but nobody threw beer or anything on them. And so that's not even a reason even to bring that up. And I was just so, as a retired lieutenant colonel in the Army, why would you say it's okay to throw beer on children because they didn't stand for the flag? And in reality, they did stand. So, yeah, I'm sorry, you just pushed my button. I just get real excited about that. So.
Well, we wanted you to clear that up for us. And, you know, it's always interesting when anytime there are articles, often you have the chance to comment or add your thoughts in it. And I know that got a lot of reactions from folks. And what do you think about all this? Give us a call, 1-800-99-NATIVE. And what do you think about what she just shared of maybe even, you know, it being justified racism because of an incident like this? What do you think, you know, where do we go to start solving things like this and turning the conversation around, especially when that conversation has to happen with our kids? Call us right now, 1-800-99-NATIVE. Let's go ahead and hear more from you, Native America. We are bringing in Phil, who is in Hayward, Wisconsin, tuned in on WOJB. And Phil, what would you like to add?
Aho, Mrs. Gaywood. It's a pleasure. It's Bill, by the way. I got a frog in my throat here lately. It's kind
Sorry
of
about that, Bill.
Here,
go ahead.
You know, the kids have to keep their chin up. You know, we're thick-skinned as it is. We all know that. It's a parenting issue. And, you know, I feel when I hear about things like that, I look at the parents that raised those kids to bring them up that way. And it's all about parenting, 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 parenting. And if we can't keep other races from acting up like they have, you know, we need to set an example as Natives. And I believe we have over the years. We're strong, we're positive, and we love to have fun. And I just want to tell all those kids that were involved in that to keep their chin up. Life goes on. It's probably not going to be the first time that they have to go through that. As a military vet myself, I've been through it. But I've learned to control my emotions, deal with people in a sense that try to kill them with kindness and set the story straight right off the get.
All right. Thank you for your call. And let's go ahead and take another. 1-800-99-NATIVE is the way to get in the conversation. Let's go ahead and hear from Harvey now in Pine Ridge, South Dakota, tuned in on KILI. Harvey, go ahead.
Good morning. My name is Harvey Tallman. I'm one of the grandparents from the children at the American Horse School. One of the concerns that I have, I think maybe in the future or near future, I think it would be a good idea if, you know, they had a public forum, because I'm pretty sure these children aren't the only and first and last individuals to experience something like this. Now, I remember when I was in kindergarten, I still remember when things happened like that. And then the things that they say, you know, I carried it with me throughout my whole lifetime. And, you know, to have these little babies to go up there and, you know, go through this. My granddaughter, she went through it before up there in Walmart. And I guess the sheriff up there has told us to just forget about it. So I'm not really sure. But I think if we stand together as a people and all show up in Rapid City at the same time, pick a date, go up there same time and have a civil rights march. Because, you know, Native Americans, we're tired of turning the other cheek now. It's 2015. If money is the one, if money is the one that makes the world go around, then let's have a lawsuit against them. It kind of seems to me like they're not doing anything. You know, if whatever funds may be available, maybe we could start getting our Black Hills back that way. After all, they'll go back into the economy anyway.
All right, Harvey. Thank you for your call. And, you know, what about you? Do you agree? Do you want to see more action, maybe even policies come in? Or what do you think? Do those even hold water when it comes to standing against racism? Call us right now, 1-800-996-2848. Harvey, thank you for your call. Let's go ahead and bring in another caller, Tara in Boynton, Florida, tuned in online. Welcome to the hour and share your thoughts, please.
Hi, thank you. Just to expand a little bit on what Harvey had just said, it's very true in terms of civil rights. The children have the right to equality in public, and I feel the lack of response from the Rapid City Police as well as the government in that state is only enabling the racism. And I feel like that I agree with the lawsuit. Also, the responsibility of the Civic Center and how it was handled. And, you know, another incident happened a week later where adult women had beer thrown at them and the lack of response. And, you know, it just is a very serious thing to have alcohol being thrown at children. And if it was other circumstances in other parts of this country, you know, people, I believe, would have already been charged with assault. It's child abuse, it's assault, and it does have a long-term effect. As the gentleman said earlier about this happening to him as a younger person, it's a form of post-traumatic stress for our kids to feel like they're in fear to go back into Rapid City, you know, and I feel like our ceremonies helped our ancestors get through horrific times and to go back to those old ways to help support and heal everyone involved because it is an extended community. And explaining to my own son, who's 12 with special needs, that this happened is a very difficult conversation because it does involve the level of hate that children don't understand and that their brown skin is something that someone hates. And all we did was pray and smudge, and I explained that I was going to pray for the people who had done this to the children and that they get better and that they learn from this, because really standing strong together and not retaliating is the best way, and trying to hold them accountable within the system is something that I hope can eventually happen. And I really appreciate having the opportunity to say this today.
All right. Thank you for giving us a call there in Florida. Let's go ahead and bring another. We got David in Kyle, South Dakota, tuned in on KILI. Hello, David, and tell us what you're thinking.
Hello, how are you doing? Doing good. And so just remembering the time when my grandpa used to tell me that it's been racist for a long time in Rapid City. Like, they always pick on our elders and our children. It's like the elders been carved in Rapid City Hospital up there. Nothing happened. Now the children got beer spilled on them, so maybe nothing's going to happen about that. But I always tell people, my relatives, if you go to Rapid City, you pray, smudge yourself off for guidance and protection, and you will come home happy. That's that. So I'd like to send our prayers to the family or the children. You know, these children are going to grow up, and they're going to remember what happened to them, and they're going to return. Maybe they're going to return as lawyers. Maybe one of them is going to be mayor of Rapid City. You never know. These children are unpredictable what they can do.
Sure. And they got a big path in front of them. David, thank you for your call there in Kyle, South Dakota. I want to bring in another voice. We got KD in North Dakota. KD, what do you think about turning things around? Welcome to the hour.
Oh, yeah. Hi. Thank you. I work with an organization called Unity North Dakota, and we do a lot of anti-racism tracking of issues like what happened in Rapid City. And one thing that we're going to be doing, and I think it's a great thing, is social media as a way to combat racism, to spread the word. There's a new application coming out for phones very soon that's called Prejudice Tracker, and that will allow a person to download this app to their phone, and if they experience a racist incident, they can post information about the incident, note where it was, and it's kind of a way to Yelp and crowdsource these racist incidents, because when you spread the word, then it puts pressure on authorities, it puts pressure on businesses, and makes them have to take note of how things that happen in their vicinity, because nobody wants to be associated with a racist activity, and certainly the more that people know about it, the more the authorities have to act eventually.
All right, and Katie, the name of the app again, or keywords to look for if somebody's interested.
It is called prejudicetracker.org, and it's going to be coming out for phones very soon. And it is a really a great program because it is an anti-prejudice application for your phone. You can Yelp these incidents, and it'd be a great thing for kids to make sure they have it on their phones. If something happens, they can report it right away, and it goes to one of 185 anti-racist and social justice organizations across America who can act on it. Everybody from the Southern Poverty Law Center to the Anti-Defamation League, including the American Association of People with Disabilities, or even the American Indian Culture Research Center in South Dakota is one of the participating organizations.
All right, Katie, thank you for adding to the hour. And we are getting close to wrapping things up, but I wanted to go ahead and bring Suzanne back in. Suzanne, we're hearing a lot of things. I also understand that you've also had a healing with the young people there in the community about this incident. Suzanne, you know, where do we need to be thinking when it comes to, you know, putting the right words or, you know, maybe even methods or tactics in our young people's lives? Anything you want to share about them, about that? Go ahead.
One of the things that the counseling team has done over the past week and this week is working with critical incident stress. And so they teach our students how to react in those critical incident stress things and how to reach out and ask for help if they're feeling overwhelmed and not sure what to do. But I think it was one of the things that everybody in our community has been concerned about is how the students were feeling and that we had people available to assist the students with their emotions and just how they felt about everything after this, because it's just devastating. And because it really was our babies. We're a kindergarten through eighth grade school, and the students were 9 to 13 or 14. I think one of them was 14. But they're just little, and I just really wanted to share, because one of the things that one of the parents said at our meeting with the police department in Rapid was real poignant, and I think it's important just to hear. But he said, what happened that day is, he said, what you need to remember is when you think about our children is that these were kids who, some of these students still believed in Santa Claus and the Tooth Fairy, and that magic was stolen from them, and they will never get it back, you know? How do you help us fix that? At least arrest the people that are responsible, you know? And I thought that, I just remember that a lot, you know, when I feel badly about it, too, is we're all just really struggling to help our children be okay.
Sure. And we want them to be healthy, you know, to handle situations like this, too. And Dr. Coates-Kitsopoulos, also wanted to get your thoughts on this. I know we're talking about, you know, children as well, but this also means, you know, relations with bordering communities. It was interesting. And we also look back in our archives, and last year, almost this time, we had brought on a couple folks connected directly to the Rush game or Rush hockey team there. And they were talking about race relations getting better because two Native players were on the ice. So, you know, as we take a look at all of this and think about, you know, where can we go from here in building those bridges? Any thoughts on what needs to be done so incidents like this don't keep happening?
Well, I mean, the gentleman that said, you know, racism and prejudice and bigotry all start in the home. It, very similar to bullying. But what I've asked, or the school has asked, is why is there not a section in the Civic Center that does not sell alcohol, not just for Native children, but for all children? Many parents do not want to take their children to an event that they're going to sell alcohol. And, you know, I lived in many places, San Antonio, Washington, D.C., clear across the country. And most big event centers have an area that they do not sell alcohol. And since we have so many schools, and just six here, just tribal schools, plus four other Shannon County schools, and there's Todd County schools. We have all these schools, and all of our children go to Rapid for different events, and we all use the Civic Center. There should be an area set aside for non-alcohol. If the adults cannot control themselves when they drink, then we need to put our children in a safe zone so they're not going to be dealing with alcoholism and drunks and people doing things that, you know, when they're out of control.
All right. Thanks for that. And Justin, we got about a minute before we wrap up here. And I also understand that the Lakota Nation Invitational is also considering whether or not they want to move forward with being there in the area. Justin, any thoughts on how what happened here may affect future events?
Well, number one, that it is going to affect a lot of events because the Civic Center did say that they're going to beef up security, but another incident did occur at the Civic Center. So will it affect more? They need more security. They need cultural diversity nights, you know? Back to Gloria's, that Rush game. They need cultural diversity nights, so Native American night. But will LNI move? Should LNI move? No. My opinion, that's my personal opinion, because that is in the Black Hills, home of all the Oglalas and Cheyennes, the Native American territory. We shouldn't move, but we should also feel safe in that Civic Center. We need to feel safe, knowing that our kids are safe there. But right now, I don't know the answer for what Alan I is going to do.
All right, Justin. And, you know, we will keep our eye on this. It seems each week a new headline is talking about how racism is affecting Native America, including sports. And so we're going to continue to keep our eye open on this. And again, if there is something that you also wanted to add to the hour, but time is up, you can still reach out to us. Please do send us an email. Send it to comments@nativeamericacalling.com. And we are also on social media, too, if you want to send us a tweet. Our handle is at 1-800-99-NATIVE. And you can find us on Facebook. Just type in Native America Calling. And that's going to do it for our program today. Thank you to our guests, Justin Poorbear, Susan Whitelance, and also Dr. Gloria Coates-Kitsopoulos. Thank you for your time and sharing your thoughts on this. Thanks to our staff, too, our senior producer, Monica Brain, our associate producer, Andy Murphy, our engineer, Stephen Emmons, and also Antonia Gonzalez, anchor and producer of National Native News. We also invite you to check out our website. You can find out what we have planned for the rest of the week, and also on Friday, we'll also send you an update if you sign up for our newsletter on what we're planning for the rest of the month. That's going to wrap it for today. And again, I do appreciate all of the callers who shared their thoughts on this. We appreciate you telling us what Native America is thinking. We do this every day, same time, same place. Thank you. I'm Tara Gatewood. Have a wonderful afternoon. We'll be back again tomorrow.
February is Children's Dental Health Month. Cavities can be prevented by brushing your kids' teeth daily and by limiting sugary snacks and sodas. Please make an appointment for your family today and visit the dentist regularly. A gentle reminder from Napper, Inc., a tax-exempt organization.
When you file online for your PFD, every Alaskan can support Native America Calling. Just use Pick, Click, Give, and select KNBA-FM, Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation. With one donation at a time, good things will happen all over Alaska.
Support provided by the Tribal Telecom and Technology Conference, weaving pathways across the digital divide, May 4th through the 7th, 2015, at the Hotel Albuquerque at Old Town, bringing together tribes and the telecom and technology industries to pursue solutions that advance digital opportunities for American Indian and Alaska Native communities. The annual Tribal Telecom Golf Classic will be held May 4th at the Isleta Eagle Golf Course. Info at tribaltelecomconference.com.
Native America Calling is produced in the Annenberg National Native Voice Studios in Albuquerque, New Mexico by Kiwanis Broadcast Corporation, a Native nonprofit media organization located in Anchorage, Alaska. Funding is provided by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, the Annenberg Foundation, the McCune Charitable Foundation, and the Ford Foundation. Music is provided by Brent Michael Davids. Native Voice One, the Native American Radio Service.